This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
All right, welcome back. Now, let me go to John. John, hi, how are you?
Let's get the elephant off the pitch anyway, no fuss about it because it's bound to come up. Noah's Ark.
Yes, Noah's Ark.
That's your favourite one.
Well, it's a nice story, isn't it? I mean, it's a lovely moral to the story, you know, with saving your animals and your family. But I think somebody told me the origins of that story were some guy who was a pharaoh in Egypt on the banks of the Nile, and the Nile flooded its banks. And he saved his ox and his sheep and his family on a raft. He built a raft and went down river and built a new village with new people and populated it again. So that story probably comes or exaggerated from a story like that. Because, look, let's be clear about it. Nobody for 1 minute believes that one man and his missus and, you know, two people built a boat big enough for 1.4 animals. If they did, they'd be still building it today. And they only had Bronze Age tools. They would have had to cut down a whole forest to build the boat. So let's be clear about it. It didn't happen. It couldn't have happened.
Well, I mean, look, let's park that because that's not good enough for to beat the whole church with.
Well, maybe it is.
There's one incident, one story, right?
Okay.
It's a sad week in Cork this week because we had five churches in the city centre. And when I was growing up, I mean, in the late 50s, right up through the 70s, 80s, those churches, definitely up to the late 70s, would be full every, there would be no Saturday night mass at that stage, but the Sunday masses, there would be three masses in each church.
I remember it well, John. I remember when I was a kid. Yeah, we used to have five masses on a Sunday morning. Yeah.
But St. Augustine's Church, you know, they're just there over 90 years. Like, that's closing now this week. No, right? It's just, and I remember a time going in there where you couldn't get inside the door at all the masses, right?
Yeah.
Now we're down to four city centre churches, and with the lack of priests and no ordinations, I mean, people coming forward again. Which I keep harping the drum all the time. I just feel a lot of people in the church will fall over me. I believe in married priests. I believe in women priests, like, because you don't change. Mm-hmm. There will be more churches closed because there will be no priests there. You have to allow them to get married and get rid of this ridiculous celibate life. I mean, it's inhumane to ask a man to be celibate all his life.
It's not biologically natural. Men can have testosterone. It's not biologically natural to ask a man not to have a sexual relationship.
No, I'm a woman either. Like, I mean, well, I see no problem. Yeah. I would have no problem going into my church and a woman saying mass. None whatsoever.
Okay, like, you believe in God, you believe in Jesus. Why do you think, why do you think, John, there is, well, according to the evidence, there does a suggestion that many young people, the Gen Zs of this world, are turning back to religion?
I think because they're lost. Like, I mean, with the technology out and on everything, and the world the way it is, it's so unsettling. The world has become a very small place. Once upon a time, you're going to Australia, not to hear anything about the Middle East. No, but everyone is on their tablets and their devices now, and the world has become a tiny place. Mm. Well, you seem to be connected to all of it now, where you weren't before. And people got, like, the big thing about the church was that when people came out of Mass on a Sunday, now you'll still get it in the rural areas, people will stand around, they didn't see each other for the whole week, maybe, whatever. And they'll have a conversation. It's the unity within the community. And that's what we've lost.
That's a good phrase. I like that. The unity of the community. Okay.
Yeah, and we have lost that. We need to get that back.
No, I don't disagree with you. I think community is a great thing. And I think that whole idea of, you know, the door is always open and it takes a village to raise a child and all of those kind of sayings that kind of were based around the whole idea of a community. Yeah. I think we have lost it. And I think it's gone.
I think that's really sad.
It's like when the
European Economic Community was born, the word community was in there. All of a sudden, that disappeared. Did you notice that? Mm-hmm. It is now the European Union. But a union of what? Of the more powerful countries or powerful people? You have to get the unity in the community. And this is why I think people are coming back to religion. They're just lost. I think the people are actually... Charlie Kirk was a prime example. I still have his cross and the plaque to him outside my house, and it will stay there. But the thing is, the young people were flocking towards him. Like, he was a young guy. He never was nasty, even though a lot of the people that were against him, they were saying he was anti-trans, he was anti-this. He was not.
No.
I've seen all the videos and everything and the college stuff and the whole lot. And he was
a lot of the stuff that's been said about him has been taken completely out of context.
So what could you expect of me?
Okay, hang on, because I want to go to Maureen and Alan as well. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall.
How are you doing, Maureen? Now, I know you kind of believe in the Holy Trinity. You know, but getting back to the real question here is, Why do you think there's an increase? Now, it's not a crazy increase or anything like that, but there's a jump from 7% to 17% of young Catholics. It could be a statistical blip. I don't know. Why do you think they're turning back to the church?
Well, Niall, you see, the world I'm looking at today, Sodom and Gomorrah would be apartheid compared to it. And I think that a lot of the young people are looking at this too. It's very same way as I look at it and saying, sad this. I'm going back. I'm going back to my faith because like the world we're living in. When you dispatch God to the wilderness, Satan walks in the door. And that's exactly what has happened. And
I think that's a really unfair statement, Maureen. That suggests that if you don't believe in God, hang on, let me just put it into English. If you don't believe in God, then you're obsessed with the devil. That's not true,
isn't it?
Well, no, I don't believe in a God.
We're seeing what's happening today is because God has been thrown out of everywhere.
No. But the point I'm making is, Maureen,
buildings in this country that are removing crucifixes. They're not even teaching proper catechism to the children in school. There are children walking up there to make the First Holy Communion and their confirmation. They won't see the inside of a church. Again, it's just a party because they're not teaching them properly.
No, but yeah, but going back to your statement that if you don't believe in God, well, then obviously you're gone wayward and you have the devil inside you. I don't believe in a God. I consider myself quite Christian, I suppose, and I have good Christian morals, but I don't believe in God per se. I don't believe there's a kind of entity up there controlling everything. But that doesn't make me a bad person or obsessed with the devil, Maureen.
No, what I said was, dispatch God, when God is taken out of everywhere, it's an open door for evil to enter. And we've seen it in this country. It's in our schools. It's everywhere. That's evil. That's what I said.
Sorry, John, you're trying to say something to Maureen there. Go ahead.
Yeah, maybe I don't know how you will take this, but you were very unwell there for a while. I mean, I reckon that at some stage, even though you come across and you tell everyone of us over the years that you are an atheist, but please, at some stage, I do believe that you must have said a prayer of some kind or must have said, if there is a God there.
I did, yeah. Oh, God, I did. Yeah, I absolutely did. I'm not denying that for a minute. I'm hedging my bets.
Yeah, the same as I did. I always had a belief, but like when 2 years ago there, when there was a slight cancer, I had prostate cancer, but thank God it didn't. I mean, I went on my knees many times and lit many candles, like many people. And you see, look, there are people today inside the hospices there, and they're just trying to hold on. There are people who have been standing in front of consultants this very morning and told that they have stage 4 cancer and they have 2 and 3 young kids, right? And only for their belief and the belief that God will help them and cure them, keep them there for their family.
But that's all well and good.
They wouldn't last 5 minutes. They wouldn't last 5 minutes.
And maybe their faith makes them last longer because they hold on to life a little bit longer and they don't give in, I suppose. I don't know. But God is not going to save them.
Yeah, but there's another problem as well. We have all, I've listened to many, many people. Oh, yes, the church has to change. The church has to do this. The church does not change. The church is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The church does not move. The teaching of the church is the teaching of the church.
People what about the women priests and the married priests, Maureen?
No married priests.
That's going to be the ruination of the church because there's not enough priests being ordained.
We're going to no, John, there cannot be married priests or women priests.
Why not?
The apostles were married.
Wait a minute. Jesus
the apostles picked, were married. St. Peter was
Jesus
married.
Jesus picked 12 men. Yes, they were married. But what did Peter do? Or Simon before he was called Peter the Rock?
But wasn't there a suggestion that Jesus had a relationship with Mary Magdalene?
No, that's blasphemy in my eyes.
That's blasphemy.
He pills.
Thank gosh.
He picked, yes, it is blasphemy.
But we don't have blasphemy laws in this country anymore.
Didn't pick 12 women.
No, I'm just saying there were other writings and other people had suggested that there was a relationship between. I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying there was a relationship between the two of them.
Well, I don't believe
the idea, and I agree with what John said earlier on, Maureen. I'm not having a go at you or your religion. I'm just saying I agree with what John said. The idea that a man, a human man with testosterone and hormones raging, biologically is not interested in sex for the rest of his life, it's just ludicrous.
He wasn't just a human man, Niall.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about people who were going into the priesthood.
Well, they did. They did to follow Jesus. The apostles did that to follow Jesus.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me just go to Alan as well. Alan, hi. How are you?
Hey, Niall.
Go ahead, Alan.
Well, if you look at the earlier civilizations, we had alchemy, and then we went on and progressed to chemistry. Then there was astrology. Then we went on to astronomy, and now we have religion, and eventually we went on to philosophy.
And now it's AI.
So the forced attempts to ride a bike as a child, you keep falling. But you keep getting up and trying to ride it. And that's what religion is. It's an attempt to explain the complexities of the universe where primitive backward belief systems have no real evidence of anything. It's just in your head. And religion, I was in a religion for 7 years, born again Christian, and I was a Catholic as well. Went and done all the religious stuff. Maureen is saying there. Maureen is an example of someone who lives in her own bubble. She thinks all church is the one true faith and everything else is wrong.
But all Christians think that.
It is, actually, Alan.
It is the one true church. There's no religion. It's the one most Catholic church. Jesus instituted himself on earth. Nuns who raped kids. And all this corruption that I got up to Ireland.
You just like to bash the Catholic Church and you've got three rapists and everything else. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Maureen, well, your problem is you live in the Catholic faith as if it was.
Yes, I do. I'm a Catholic.
Yeah, but hang on, Alan, with respect, there's a lot of people who believe in the Catholic faith as it was 100 years ago. Also, in relation to the abuse that went on, those who perpetrated abuse were scumbags, right? And those, by the way, who covered up for those who perpetrated abuse, who are even bigger in numbers, were bigger scumbags.
No, I'm sorry, Niall. Why do you always anecdotally say... Or there was only a small amount. The church covered her up on a bigger scale.
Absolutely. No, I've just said that to you.
Maureen tries to make out that the church is a parish and a virtue.
No, you were right. The cover-up of abuse was institutional.
So there was a lot more. And Niall, when you say there was 2 or 3% priests who were abusing, well, that may be the case. But they were the ones we caught. Not the ones that were hidden over and covered up, and not the ones that were covered up were eventually.
Okay, let me ask Maureen that, in fairness, Alan. Maureen, how can you support an organisation that institutionally covered up the abuse and rape of children?
So the Catholic Church is the only place that covered up abuse of children, is it?
That's not answering my question, Maureen. No, of course there's been other churches and other organisations, including the Church of England, Protestants, and the rest of them. They're all the same, right? But I'm asking you a question about your faith and about religion. How can anybody support an organisation, the Catholic Church being the organisation, I don't mean God, but support an organisation that covered up, institutionally covered up abuse, right to the top to the Pope?
You cannot separate God from the Catholic Church.
I'm answering the question I've asked you.
So give me a chance. I follow the Catholic Church and the teaching of the Church because it is Christ's Church. Well, he instituted it on this earth.
Okay, you should answer my question.
First Pope when I have answered it now, and I don't look at it as an organization. It's my faith. It's my church.
Well, it is an organization.
Everything is an organization.
Go ahead, Alan.
The problem here is like we're discussing the so-called anecdotal evidence of 17%, 10% group
in young people, primarily.
That would be the overall evidence is that religion is going on the decline in Western world, and eventually, in 100 years' time, the Catholic Church will be gone. And nobody will believe it, especially in the wealthier countries. It's hanging on by a thread because it's a habit. It's like a smoking habit with less benefits. Religion closes you off to the... Maureen's very clever at criticising governments for all their criminality and their... all the things that they get up to.
Yes, I do, because they are.
Yeah, well, then why don't you use the same passion you have for the exposing
government
for what they do?
Because I have a passion. I am passionate about my faith, Alan. And I don't need you coming on here to bash me because I'm a Catholic.
You're blind.
I am sick of it.
Well, hang on, Alan. Maureen, is it fair to say that you, and I respect the fact that you're religious, I respect your religion, I respect you, but is it fair to say, you're entitled not to respect her if you don't want to, Alan.
No one asked you to, Alan.
Okay, but Maureen, is it fair to say that people who continue then to support the Catholic Church, and I'm talking about God and religion, I'm talking about the Catholic Church, are oblivious to what went on for many, many years institutionally, not just the 2% of priests, as Alan rightly said, it was institutional cover-up. Are you oblivious to that?
I'm not oblivious to anything, Niall. And I'll give you a very simple explanation. Condemn it then. No, I will not condemn my church. I will never condemn my faith or my church.
No, then what you are, Maureen,
because for the simple reason...
Okay, we don't shout over each other. Please don't shout over each other.
She's a hypocrite.
Okay, Maureen, all I've asked you to do is, I'm not asking you to defend your religion. I'm asking you just to condemn the sins of the church.
I condemn the priest and anyone else who abuse children, right?
The whole church.
Would you let me answer?
Go on.
I attend my church because Christ is in the Blessed Sacrament and he has invited me and other Catholics. We're not obliged to go 7 days a week. Sunday is a day of obligation. He invites us to church. He invites us to take part of his body and blood at church, at the consecration.
That is my faith. The church is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, she said.
Yes, right? It is. It can never change. Well, women, priests, and all the rest of it.
So can you answer this question then, Maureen? Why do is limbo gone now? Do we know that there's a limbo?
There is a limbo.
Oh, so you believe still the old delusion
there is a limbo.
No, but then what your problem is, you're in the dark ages, and people like you need to be put in psychiatric units.
You have no idea, Alan. You have no idea of the teaching of the Catholic Church. That's your problem.
Let's not shout over each other again. Okay, just stay there for a second, both of you, now, because I want to bring Nuala in. Stay there, Nuala. Hi, how are you?
I'm not too bad. Saw them last night. I was woke up with the helicopter, like as if it was over the roof, and.
Whose helicopter? Whose helicopter?
RNLI. Somebody went into the car up, I think.
Oh, Jesus.
And they're still looking today. I see them walking around looking. It seems a regular thing now, people committing suicide, jumping into the car.
That's terrible. My concerns are with their family, by the way.
It's like an academic, an epidemic here in Galway. And I think it, too, is that it's the people losing hope. And I think, I think religion gives you hope, especially if you're in a state of despair, which a lot of people are because they have kind of find a place to live. They maybe would like to have a family and they can't. There's no place. There's nothing there. And I think society has to see that you have to take some of the blame.
Because despair has got worse or confusion in the world has got worse that people are turning back to religion in some way to look for hope? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not too sure of that. Now, I had one grandnephew. Now, he was born in Saudi, raised in Saudi, but he wasn't, he wasn't baptized or anything, but the company paid for his second level education in Ireland, but I was told then just lately, he became a Catholic, and I was thinking, what the heck? Because his family wouldn't have been religious or not, and I thought that was news to me because he's studying he's a degree in psychology, like he's not a, and I noticed that he pals around with a lot of lads who go to a kind of a Latin mass, but there seem to be like 1-1 students. They're not kind of your average guy. There seem to be that much well educated. They're not just the ordinary lads, this is amazing to me because I didn't.
You wouldn't imagine that would have been the case. So you've heard Alan's argument there, that. I suppose Alan is suggesting people believe it out of desperation. And look, he's not wrong, because when I was really unwell last year, at one point, actually, I was very unwell when I was in the hospital. I mean, Alan, I'm just going to say this to you and to Nuala, and I agree what John said earlier on. We all, because we come from a Christian country, turn around that point when we're about to pop our clogs and go, Jesus, there is a God.
Can I just put this to you as anecdotal evidence of my experience, right?
Yeah.
Now, I've said this to you before, so you know I'm telling you the truth now. For the past 2 years, from 23 to 25, I woke up feeling suicidal every day. I mean suicidal, where I wanted to get an overdose and kill myself.
And that's awful.
I didn't pray. I didn't believe in religion anymore. I'm out of it 40 years now. What did I do, Niall, to get me to it?
You listened to my show. Niall Boylan.
Niall, just having you on the other end of the radio made me feel less traumatised. I felt I was back in a homely, cosy, and by all the different regulars coming on, even Maureen, to her own ideas. I still wouldn't agree with anything Maureen has to say. Well, I defend our right to say it, but I know now that religion is a cover for desperation. It's not real. It's just a fantasy.
Okay. Nuda doesn't have too much to say, and I want to come to Dave as well.
There's 10,000 religions on the planet.
Oh, no, I know, and they all believe they're the one single God.
Let me have my say.
Okay, go ahead, Nuala. Alan made a good point. There's 10,000 or more religions in the world, and they all believe they're the one true God.
Well, I mean, isn't it something you find in yourself? You know, I was at a meeting last night. It was about, this Lenten meeting, about Lent and that. You know, so I was talking to this person afterwards who was kind of, she was a religious. I'd be religious myself, but, I couldn't understand what she was talking about. And I was thinking, to me, it's all logical. You know, it's logical that a lot of the things that I said in the Gospels are really logical. He talked about fornication. He talked about if you look at a woman and lust after her, you're committing adultery.
That's not real.
Catholic Church, and you that's have to a, live yeah, a right life.
The whole concept
if you want
of
to live
the Bible.
A good life.
Okay, well, do me a favour, the two of you, because I have to take a very short break, and I'm going to come back to you, and you can continue this, Barney.
This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.